Welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star Season 8, Episode 3, titled The Supermarket Ball. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by two amateur co-hosts. First from the podcast, Pod is my co-pilot. Please say...
You know, I don't usually go to the supermarket. We're always eating out. We eat out every night. I mean, who's really cooking in their fucking house?
What do you mean you knew it? Came to the latte boy, by the way.
I knew that was the one you were going to pick for me. I knew it. When I heard her say it, I'm like, that's clip zero. That's clip zero for me. Jerk.
And from the Afterthought Media podcast, The Tea, the wildly popular yet wildly unpopular with Jay Ellis as a record The Tea, Mr. Jay. Oh, you have to say,
what did you do, Mrs. Davis?
To Jay Ellis. Hello, Jay. How are you?
That's right. I am Mr. Tasha Davis.
You are.
The secret is out.
The secret is official. I will say, we'll talk about it. Jay was on the episode. We will talk about it. We will talk about it.
I don't know what you're referring to, so I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. So anyway, let's jump right into this. Before you do, though, Taylor and I, well... I thought it was an interesting conversation just between us girls. Taylor, at the end of it, told me he hates talking about politics. And I got schooled, Jay Ellis, about this by Taylor. But if you want to see him school me, go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the whatever level gets. I think it's executive level and above gets just between us girls. Or... also, if you don't want to deal with Patreon, just swipe up and go to the subscription on Apple Podcasts and download there, and you can get your fill. Jay Ellis did not want to be on it today. And I am such... I have my PhD in Jay Ellis so much that when he told me earlier... see, any other human being... so this is what happened. I get a text from Jay, and it says, listen, I'm going to be running a little bit late with watching the episode, just by a few minutes. So just go ahead and do Just Between Us Girls without me. I'll just join after. And I knew I could just ask Taylor to move in a few minutes and it would be fine. But I knew that would cause so much agita with this Jay Ellis.
What you call
me? No. Don't do this. Don't. Not for me. Not for me, Jay Ellis.
I would never do that to Taylor, first of all. I know that this commitment is hard. And I do not want to make any different subtle changes to this.
Okay. Why are you throwing me under the bus with
this?
Well,
I have to pass the blame somehow.
True.
That can't be the one who's in trouble.
Yeah, that is true. To Taylor, this is the hardest job. Like, so effing hard. It's like, let me tell you this. The people who saved the little...
slightly. Thank you.
The people who saved those children in a cave had an easier job than Taylor.
Yeah. Wow.
By the way, you know, on the season premiere, we premiered this song called 9 to 10. All the afterthoughts loved it.
It was great. It was good.
It is very good. I'm just not sure how I'm going to be able to lean back in this chair with this knife in it.
Whoopsie. To be fair, I just finished the episode maybe 10 minutes ago, so it's real fresh in the head. I'm excited and amped to talk about this episode.
Jay, I have bad news for you. I forgot to tell Taylor. Jay called me earlier in the week, and he goes, you know it's a ball, right? And I go, ugh, I know. And he goes, so are we going to talk about the looks? I go, not really. I go, I'll tell Taylor. And then I never told him.
Great. I'm glad that I took notes on every single fucking look then. Thank you very much.
I also have notes in preparation just because I thought that that message may not be translated. So we're in good shape.
All right. This week, the girls are having a ball at the supermarket for this week's Maxi Challenge. The girls will walk the runway in three grocery-inspired looks. In the end, Darian Lake and Mrs. Kasha Davis land in the bottom, while Jessica Wilde is named the top all-star of the week. As this week's challenge winner, Jessica is forced to duke it out against lip-sync assassin Raja O'Hara in a lip-sync battle for their legacies. In the end, Jessica Wilde wins the lip-sync and 30,000 doulas. She also earns the right to name the queen going home this week. After pulling the lipstick out from her bra, she reveals that she has chosen to send home Mrs. Kasha Davis. Ladies, name two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not. Let's start with our very special guest, Jay Elizabeth Ellis. Go ahead, Jay. Two things you liked, one thing you did not.
My number one thing, and you're going to have a hard time talking me off this ledge, but I am so excited to see Jessica Wilde back on my TV. I love this queen. I might be a little biased because when I worked around West Hollywood, she always was working the bars also, so I just have an affinity toward this woman. I love Jessica Wilde. I thought that she had a really great episode, so that's my number one thing. I also really liked this category for the balls, it was unique. I feel like there was room for camp or room for fashion. Like, we don't always get that with some of the balls that are thrown on this show, so I thought that it was a really creative one, and people took the prompt and went their way with it. The thing I did not like, and this is kind of the major aspect of this episode, the judging that seemed so bizarre. Like, it just felt like they can rationalize how they want now, and they're just not hiding it anymore. And I feel like it's just, we're seeing producers pulling queens through different ways. At AfterBuzz, we called it dick in the soup. And I feel like you can see the dick in the soup floating to the top.
Okay. All right. Well, Tale of a Latte Boy, what are your two things you liked and one thing you didn't?
I'm going to switch it. I'm going to do two things I do not like and one thing I do.
I don't know if I'd really call that a switch, but okay. It seems to be your modus operandi, but okay.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. One thing that I do not like is we seem to be the new trend of the tit bib. I'm tired of like the rubbery, like chicken cutlet looking big boob things. I mean, we managed to go through many, many seasons of Drag Race in which there was an illusion there, in which there was just some slight padding in a bra or something. And it didn't have this like just pornographic look to it, of where it's just these enormous, you know, knockers coming at you. Mm-hmm. So that's something that because I think it takes away from the artistry of some of these women, because unfortunately now a lot of them aren't very good at wearing them, so it's a distraction from the drag, because you can either see the sides of it, or as we saw last week on RDR, Alexis Michelle's kept like bending when she was talking and stuff. So in that regard, I did not like that. I cannot remember the second thing that I did not like, but I can say the one thing I did like.
Let's hear it.
And that would be, I thought that as far kind of dovetailing on what Jay said, as far as some of the looks go, some of the best ball looks I think we've ever seen in a ball. And the polish of some of the unconventional challenge looks was amazing to me. Some of them I thought were like, just like, you did that in 2 days, which I also get, probably not. But it just was that some of them were really, really good, which made the ones that were really bad that much worse, because they just look like garbage heaps. What about you, Joe? What were your two things and one thing you did not like?
I'm going to put right off the bat, and there's no need for me to elaborate because you guys have both said it. I liked the challenge topic. I don't know if I necessarily, the category, but I don't know if I necessarily liked all the execution, but I liked it as an idea. Number two, I actually usually think, like, there was someone who did it recently. I think it was Yara Sofia. Did a lip sync with the boobs. And everyone was raving about it. I'm like, it's so stupid. It's just the whole fucking thing is the fucking boobs, right? I don't know what it was about the way Jessica Wilde did this lip sync with the boobs where I thought it was super funny. I was legitimately, I wouldn't say I laughed out loud, but I was snickering and I was like, this is so stupid, right? With the boobs. It was weird because it was one of those weird things where it was so on the nose that usually you'd groan, but somehow she managed to carry it in a way that it came back around and was funny. I don't know. She did a fantastic job with the kind of lip sync.
I can tell you what the difference was between that and Yara Sofia's, is that this one with Jessica was fun.
Yeah.
She seemed like she was having fun with it, versus when Yara Sofia did it. Yara Sofia was like doing it in this very aggressive, angry way.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of disturbing to watch, because you'd also seen her wear those boobs like multiple times during the previous episodes before she won. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of like old hat. Whereas this, you weren't necessarily expecting that when she took the
Yeah, Yara was aggressive with those tits, and Jessica, I think the balance was that she was just walking, and the amount of bounce that they had just with the step was shocking. And I thought this lip sync. Well, I'll talk about the lip sync when we get there, I guess. But yeah,
let's talk about it now.
The way it was edited was weird. I feel like I didn't see a blink of Raja the whole time, and I was like, why did you bring her here? If, I mean, we really only needed 5 seconds of Jessica walking and we knew who was probably gonna win, but that was my opinion, and like I said, I'm a Jessica apologist, so here we are.
I had to talk about the lip sync here because I find often, because I'm so ready to get off the fucking show, that I'll just like gloss over the lip sync.
Yeah,
and so I wasn't sure I'd get back to it. So and the thing I didn't like, and we are going to cover this in detail in about a second, you know, there are a lot of, one of the things about this season and the casting is there were a lot of my least favorite queens. A lot of these queens on this season have gotten this Candy Muse or this James Mansfield or, you know, this, probably somebody else, right? But I never had Kahana Montrese on there. And now I'm very quickly not liking her. It's all the time with the plastic surgery. And we're going to talk in a second about something else. But Kahana Montrese, not one of my favorites. I'm not really, really, really digging her. And so after Naisha's elimination, the girls re-enter the workroom and Jimbo wipes off Naisha's lipstick mirror message. Over on the couches, Kahana reads off the vote tally and confronts Jessica, Darian, and Kasha about who voted for her to go home. The next day, Lala struggles with her confessional pillow. Meanwhile, James reveals she's into bondage and the girls discuss their own experiences with the sex swing. Finally, RuPaul entered the workroom to announce this week's maxi challenge. It's the supermarket ball, and it will consist of 3 looks. The first is the dairy-inspired legendary look. The second is Fruity Patootie, which is inspired by fruit. And finally, Supermarket Supermodel, which is a look that requires the queens to create garments out of items found at the supermarket. In the workroom, Jimbo vows to not... Let's stop right there. Even though it's not a talking point, let's talk about something else because there's a lot of readings.
We're going all the way up to the ball, basically.
Well, yeah, kind of, because...
The song, Coconuts by Kim Petras.
Yeah, this is why I'm stopping here for a second. Maybe we'll do a little quick thing here. Is that's sort of been the problem with these episodes. What I like to do is I like to sort of like come up with my head, like, where is there enough stuff to talk about? Yeah. Does that make sense? And at this point, even though I've read a lot, there isn't really a lot to talk about. And that's sort of been the problem with these episodes, is that they're boring. I woke up early this morning it was at that weird time where you're like, I might as well stay up. I think it was like 6 or something like that, right? And I was like, oh, well, I'm up. I'll watch Drag Race. I did not watch it with the intention of putting me back to sleep. And by the elimination day, the bump, 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 woke me up. I was like, oh.
I'm late for the runway. Oh my god, my seam ripped.
Yeah, I was like, I was sleeping, and then it went, you know. Ha! Ha! Ha!
He just wakes up and goes, I glued my dress to my mannequin.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, these episodes are really, really boring. All right, in the workroom, Jimbo vows to not look like a clown, while Mrs. Kasha Davis worries about her sewing skills. Jessica celebrates the fact that it is her first ball. James is excited to show off her skills. Lala wants to prove herself after the bag look. Candy doesn't know where to start. And finally, Lala tries to find some privacy in order to cement her alliance with Heidi. Okay, so here are the talking points, unless you guys have other ones to discuss, that we can talk about. Let's talk about, because I know I want to talk about it, Kahana and the vote and confronting the people who didn't vote for her. I mean, I guess if you want to talk about the sex swing, we can talk about the sex swing. I didn't think that was that interesting. And then there's a bunch of stuff that happened. The workroom actually segment was very long. There's a lot of stuff that happens there. Why don't we start with the man in the second chair, Mr. Taylor the Latte Boy. How are you, Taylor Latte Boy? What do you got here?
I'm doing okay.
He's in a swing right now record, so I think he's going to want to talk about it.
I actually wrote down as they were talking about it, no, I've never been in a swing, because I figured that would be asked at some point. So I just figured I would prepare for that.
Well, here's the deal. If Alexis asked it in a way that was like, I want to talk about this.
She wants people to know that she's been in a sex swing. That's the only reason.
Question. Has anybody here been in a sex swing?
Yeah.
And then raises her shoots her hand up.
Yeah.
It's shot like her hand up.
When you play like, I've never, and you're like, you want to ask ones where you're like, I've never been in a threesome. Oh, I have to drink because I have. It's just like when you want to like brag about something you've done. It's that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Taylor. Okay.
You know what the thing with Never Have I Ever, or that's those drinking games and stuff like that, or is why is there like, I will fucking lie to a bitch to her face, but there's some sort of like social code that you don't lie. And I specifically, the way I came out to my friends, Liz and Mercedes and Katie, was I had carried the secret. I mean, they must have known I was gay, but what I'm saying, I actually came out in college. We were playing that game and, Mercedes, and I knew that Mercedes and I had hooked up with the same person. Mercedes didn't know. And he looked like Michael J. Fox. Now. And
now?
Let me tell you the best hand job ever. Anyway.
I hope that's still funny when you're in hell, but okay, yeah.
Anyway, so someone to get Mercedes to drink said, I've never hooked up with someone that looked like Michael J. Fox. And I really didn't want to come out. And so I was just very like, but why did I have this allegiance to really drink? I don't know what it was. And so they were like,
which was even more attention getting than if he just took a sip and went, oh no, wait, I just, you know, kind of thing.
Maybe subconsciously I really did.
You have integrity. Now we found that out. You're not willing to lie in a game.
Yeah.
We finally find out he has integrity after 10 plus years.
Okay, so Taylor, I've interrupted you multiple times. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
James Mansfield, though, in a swing? Seriously, can you imagine that you walk into a sex room and it's just James Mansfield like, my ass is in a swing. Right?
I don't think I imagined when I did James Mansfield in drag, but now that's how I will picture that for the rest of my life.
The Chateau Marmont never had these.
Isn't she like, her whole thing is like old Hollywood.
This girl can't help I thought Kasha's reason for her vote.
Rita Hayworth.
Anyway, sorry, you call Kasha, what do you call Kasha's asshole? I'm sorry.
Kasha's, no, I didn't call Kasha's asshole anything. I call it home. Yeah. I thought her reason seemed very genuine. Like, there's something about the older queens talk versus the younger queens talk that feels very where they're like, they don't give a shit. Like, they're just going to kind of say things. And I thought Kasha saying, like, look, it was emotional. I love you. I went with emotion. I didn't necessarily think it through, and it sucks.
You're talking about voting for Kahana.
And talking about not voting for Kahana. Okay. not the swing. She wasn't voting for the swing.
It's weird to me.
She didn't have a swing vote. God damn it. I should have said that first.
Joe, edit that. I think that it's bizarre that there's throwing the term track record around on episode 2. Like Kahana goes, my track record speaks for itself. Mal, you were in the top once? Like, that does not a star make at this point yet. Like, I feel like we have a long way to go before you can really start hammering in that point if you're going to go off of elimination.
It's very, I've won 3 challenges, Lucy LaDuca last season when it was 2 minis and a main kind of thing. But I won the most iconic challenges. So I really feel like I should be being seen a lot more. It's the same idea.
2 minis and a main is how Taylor proposes his threesomes on Scruff now.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe. I want to talk about this Kahana thing. This fucking bitch, let me tell you.
Don't hold back.
People can vote for whoever they want to vote for. There is no official track record thing. There is no official anything. You said Kasha explained it very well. I thought Jessica Wilde gave a very good explanation that Nasha was her sister. Was it Nasha? Yeah. Nasha was her sister. Yeah. And she couldn't vote for her no matter what. There was no, even if she knew she was the worst, she couldn't vote for her. That was her sister. And Kahana is like, you went, like, it was essentially like, everybody knows it's officially track record. I'm like, when? Yeah. And that emotion should never play a part in it. And I feel it's always these people. who eventually down the road, emotion's going to become a part of it. Mm-hmm. And also, here's the deal. Kahana won a couple weeks ago. And on Tuck, we saw, she goes, she took, you know, Beverly Hills aside and...
Not Beverly Hills.
She took Beverly Hills aside and said, like, give me your reasons why you should stay. And she took Darian aside and tell me why you should stay.
Yeah.
But if it's track record and if motion's not involved, why take him aside to begin with? So we should just get away with the untucked interview, which I'm for anyway. But
I wrote the same thing. I'm like, not getting emotional. Wasn't it a week ago she had two girls crying at her, begging her to stay? And you have to take that into consideration too. Yeah,
it's so stupid. And it's going to come back and bite her in the ass. Jay, any other notes you have here?
I agree with what you guys have said. Essentially, my big point was with the voting, we've done this before and it's just people are going to vote how they're going to see how they, like, you could borrow a shirt like Alaska Justified, mm-hmm. Yes. Or you could be really mm-hmm. fierce in the challenge, and that's what's going to, it's up to the individual and you can't dictate it.
Or is this a theory of where now these girls have watched 7 or at this point probably 6 previous seasons of Drag Race, so they know there's expectations of disagreements and mm-hmm. arguments. And especially somebody like Kahana, much, you know, like we saw with Alexis a couple weeks ago, who's like going to be trying to claw for attention, feels like, well, I have to make a bigger deal about this than I actually feel about it, because that makes for good television. Because they all have to know. I mean, even, you know, Kahana has voted. There's an emotional aspect to it, whether she wants to admit it or not. But it's also where if they said, if, you know, Jessica and Kasha said, yeah, I voted for you, gave the reasons, and Kahana just sort of went, okay, and didn't make a big deal about it.
You know, if you were to make that argument about last season with all winners, I'd maybe consider it. But all these queens, every single one of them, there's not one spared from this. They're all so fucking thirsty for this win and for this validation from RuPaul. I think it comes from a genuine place where I think they're afraid that one day they'll be the one sent home, because remember, she has a win under her belt. So she's doing well on the track record. Just wait until several people have wins under their belt and her track record's not as good. All of a sudden, it's not track record anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, the next day they walk in and Candy Muse is 100% dressed like someone who runs a vape shop. She has some open
and
shirt
what is that?
With a gold chain and she's, I don't know, I don't like this Candy Muse. So it's something I just wrote down. Now, so RuPaul makes the announcement, and you know what? Unfortunately, you guys aren't going to get to see it. I will put it in the video that's posted on Patreon. Oh, by the way, that's a really good point I should make right here for Patreon. Last season, for season 15, we were posting the videos on YouTube, and they were gaining views every time, but it was a lot of work and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I think I'm just going to make the videos a Patreon exclusive. So if you want to see these shows, the video for these shows, they're only on Patreon at all levels. There's no level that's not, well, basic level, but like premium and above, $5 and above gets you the videos. You get to see what's going on. I'm going to insert the video from the episode of this. But did you see, Taylor, that, you know, during the announcement for the Maxi Challenge, she has all these pit crew guys come in, right?
Yeah.
And there's this one that comes in on a bike. You know, I might have to pull it up and find it. I can do that, actually. This guy, this queen, looks so much like Jay Ellis. And I kept trying to get a whole shot of him and everything. And I was like, oh, my God, Jay Ellis is on.
If it's a white guy with a beard and that's the only similarity, I already am calling it that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's all. You can just claim the person didn't look like you. Oh, he's right. Oh, my God. I got it perfectly. Okay. I'm going to share the windows. Right. It's right on Bryce. Okay. So let me. I just.
How is Bryce still one of the pit crew? It's shocking to me.
He's very popular. I don't know if he's necessarily popular because he's hot. I think people just like him because he's endearing. Do you guys see that?
Like they associate him with the show, maybe. Okay. I see Bryce.
Yeah. All right. Because they don't show him that much. Okay, so Bryce has walked in, another pit crew guy, the hot Israeli, some other guy, some queen who's like really living for it. Now here comes the guy.
Jonathan.
The guy, oh yeah.
Jonathan.
The guy in the bike, look at him! They'll show the guy in the bike again, watch. It's so funny. And I was like, oh my God, Jay Ellis is...
I guess the cat's out of the bag. I did a quick stint in the workroom.
Would you tell us? Oh, like, well, now there he is. He doesn't look like you at all, but just his quick shots on the bike.
I knew it.
The quick shots on the bike, I was like, oh my God, Jay Ellis is...
That's the guy from Family Dick.
Would you ever... Somebody actually asked. Somebody recently asked on Discord, like, is Jay Ellis really the guy in Family Dick?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Are you ready to confess that you are, Jay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Is...
Wait a minute. Jay, never have I ever started a Family Dick video. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with Jay's character on Family Dick is it's... Which
Don't
is more embarrassing?
Jay's character. Also, we have a recap to do.
What's more embarrassing, being in like a gay porn like Family Dick, or the fact that you're fucking jailbait Austin Young? Like, which one is worse, Jay?
Who's Austin Young? I don't know that name.
No, you don't even want to look him up. You don't want that queen on your computer screen. Legitimately looks like Taylor, what, 11?
Oh my God.
Yeah, like 11 or 12. It's horrible. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't given that warning on an episode a couple seasons back and was like, oh my God. Like, how do I wipe this off of my internet history?
You know, I found out they did this very controversial documentary on Austin Young, like one of those little short documentaries, like for like 48 hours in England. Mm-hmm. It is so creepy because it's like something that because, you know, he's actually quite old, not quite old, but much older than he looks. He's probably about 25. Wait, I don't see what he's saying.
I've got a page of notes.
Oh. And he goes on there, he's like, I try and look young and I don't lift anything over 5 pounds. Like that whole thing where like everything he does is continue looking like young.
Jay Jolie found shaken.
I was just going to say, so Austin Young is actually Jay Jolie.
Yeah. By the way, Alexis Michelle makes this joke, goes clean up on aisle 3 and then goes and then wipes the corners of her mouth. What does that mean? Because if the cleanup is her mouth aisle 3, like, in other words.
That's what we're calling Alexis Michelle for the rest of the season, aisle 3.
Because presumably she got, if she's wiping the corners of the mouth, she got the quote unquote mess in her mouth. There's no cleanup necessary. I think the joke would have been, you can cancel that cleanup on aisle 3.
You was know? She saying this when pit crew came in? Is that the joke?
That might be it, actually, right. By the way, so.
But then she did a thing where when the ooh, she already done had hers, or somebody was talking, oh, $30,000, and she did this weird, where she like kind of waved her hands and crossed her eyes, and it was very ridiculous.
Vaudeville.
But, you know, she's brought,
they're all making memes at this point. They're all trying to get that Alyssa Edwards, you know, attention.
So here's a weird thing, and you guys can go back, especially during this workroom segment, which is about 6 minutes long. I don't know how this bitch did it. But Alexis Michelle is in the background of about 90% of the shots. And they're talking to different queens. And Alexis Michelle is in the background in her 20s. I don't know why. No one else is in their 20s. Except like her G-string J. Ellis brand 20s. Yeah. And she's in the background the whole time walking around. Right? Anyway.
That's why she consulted me before she went for All Stars.
Yeah. She was like, Jay, can I get some promo 20s, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway. Lala pursuing this alliance with Heidi is so cringy. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch because Heidi is doing everything to be diplomatic and like not dance around it that she's already in an alliance, you know?
Uh-huh.
The other thing too is they're like, oh my God, we keep getting interrupted, right? And at one point Lala says, Abu, you focus on you. And I'm like, you're literally plotting against them.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to us. We're having a private conversation about how we are going to fuck you over. Like, mind your own business.
Also, you've said that workroom is so tiny. Is there any chance that the... I mean,
call it tiny.
Mrs. Kasha Davis is...
Smaller than you think it is.
Heidi could reach her arm out and touch Mrs. Kasha Davis at that point. Like, they're not really saying anything, right?
Well, you know, that's the thing. And the girls have talked about this. It's because, you know, they're also on ice when they're doing these kinds of things, you know? And so even that, you can, if a person, they've talked about how, like, the person's talk really low for you not to be heard by the other queens.
Okay.
You know? So it's about the size. Well, I don't know. I think I heard the new one's a little bigger now they moved to Silmar.
Yeah.
But the old one was the size of maybe, like, the room when if you go to the gym and they have where they have, like, the classes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Like that size. Yeah. So maybe a basketball court. maybe like that.
Right.
That was the old one, at least. All right. It's back in the workroom. Alexis confesses her crushes on Jimbo and LaLaurie, while Kasha reveals she once made out with Darian Lake. Jay, what would you rather see? You fucking Austin Young on Family Dick, or Kasha Davis and Darian Lake making out?
I love their friendship. Do you know that they're like really, them and Pandora Box are super old friends, all the three of them.
Yeah.
I find them endearing. So I guess I think, I don't know who, I don't want to look up Austin Wolf Young. Wolf is
Austin
a different one.
Different.
Yeah.
No, I would look up Austin
that
Wolf.
That name came to me
I have looked up Austin Wolf.
For some reason, that name was on the tip of my tongue, but Austin Young, I don't want to, I don't even want to.
No. You're supposed to go on the tip of my tongue and then go.
Clean up on aisle three.
On the sides of your.
Future Joe, make sure to pull that isolated clip. Thank you. Just then, RuPaul entered the workroom for some table visits. Jimbo just wants to make RuPaul laugh. Darian explores colors other than black. Alexis, doesn't want to go home on a ball challenge again. Jessica Wilde is worried about coming. Was worried about coming back. Kahana adjusts her silicone, and meanwhile, Tidy tears up over her grandmother. 100% RuPaul knew that the grandmother was dead.
Yeah,
and asked anyway. Let's start with you, JLS. Any thoughts on these table visits?
It's I bring this up every season, but it's wild to me that you could be like, and all I did was like, I crossed the synapses and I was able to cure blindness, but I also lost like 30 pounds. And RuPaul's like, how did you lose 30 pounds? Tell me about that. I'm like, there's nothing more fascinating to Ru than if you can learn lines and if you lost weight.
I was going to say that. Learning lines.
She's so impressed.
And losing weight. Yeah.
100%. But the table visits, I mean, it was bizarre to me because you see Jimbo, who's doing like getting an actual critique of, I'm funny, but I want to give you guys fashion. And then there's some people like Kahana who uses the whole, we don't see anything critique about her outfits. It's about her plastic surgery. So it's just a bizarre table visit. There was no...
All she talks about.
I know. And I'm seeing it now that it's been pointed out by you that that is her storyline. Like, that is what we're going to get from Kahana.
Yeah.
So same. I'm aware of it now, but it's also... the table visits are always kind of bizarre with Ru because you always want to put in a good first impression, but I hate that we don't get all of them because you don't really get to see their interactions with Ru, which my favorite queens are the ones who are not intimidated by RuPaul. I think that's always a fun... You know, people who like Jimbo. I feel like Jimbo's at ease with RuPaul, like kikiing with another drag queen. It's fun to watch.
Taylor, what about you?
Some of the laughs, especially with Jimbo, seemed very forced, which I get. We're talking about RuPaul, but you know, amazing actress Chanteuse RuPaul Charles. But it's where now I feel like there are times in which it's just so clearly where she's just phoning it in with the laughing or something because she feels like she has to, that it's kind of difficult to watch. What were your thoughts? I'm going to ask Joe, as a fellow man of size, about what Darian was talking about as far as color and stuff. Because I know that you have your uniform, which is black shirt, black pants, black shoes.
And I don't wear black pants or black shoes.
I thought you always wore black jeans.
No.
Oh, well, black shirt. You always usually have on a black shirt.
I think you're mixing up. He wears black socks, black thongs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cadillac, the boy, the time bomb. Go ahead.
What are your thoughts regarding color? What are your thoughts? We'll just start with color.
Well, I do wear color. I actually wear color quite frequently. I just have more black shirts than anything. Here's the deal, and Darian didn't say it, is, at least for me, it's not necessarily that I think black shirts are more slimming, but I feel black shirts, because they don't have shadows or anything like that, hide a lot of, you know, like folds and whatnot that you don't want to be necessarily highlighted, if that makes sense. So if you're wearing a light colored shirt, I'm wearing a gray shirt, you know, that colorful shade. But a black shirt, though, will hide any kind of, you'll just be like this blob. You'd rather just be an invisible blob. I don't sit there and think I put on a black shirt and people just think, oh my God, he's so thin. Why, what's your relationship with it, Taylor?
Well, I'm going through, I love color. I love multiple like bright shirts. I love, you know, like especially in the summer when all like the neon stuff comes back. But I also have been in a place in which I'm like, me walking around in like a neon yellow shirt is terrifying, the idea of that. And kind of what you're talking about as far as with, you know, shadows and all that kind of thing. I've noticed, though, as I've lost some weight, that I'm going down a size in like shirts and pants and things like that. And it is and I want to get like brighter colors and stuff like that. But there is the anxiety that I am feeling about that, like the idea of spending money on something that is a size less, because the first place my brain goes to is, well, what if I gain weight? I won't be able to wear this anymore.
I think every fat person has a closet full of clothes of all their sizes, aspirational and where they've been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still, but I mean, I had had those clothes before, so they're still there. So I can just put them on if I, you know, if I do lose the weight. But there are times that I want new things. Like, I have been told by numerous people in my life recently that shirts that I have worn for years when I was 60 pounds heavier, like almost every Thursday, I have lunch with a friend of mine that you know. And when I come around the corner at the restaurant and go, hi, she says, that shirt's too big on you. You look sloppy. So I'm like, oh, and I'm well. How are you doing? kind of thing. So it is clothing and people of size. There is a relationship there that can be very fraught with emotion and anxiety. I mean, everybody, but I'm speaking as somebody who's been, I've been 300 pounds. Now I'm like 240. So, I mean, and I've still got miles to go before I sleep. But there is still, even at that, there is a like, okay, do I really want to try this shade and what's it going to look like? And it's very
upsetting. Jay, do you
want to
weigh in here?
Pun intended. I think, well, my experience I can talk about, I'm wondering if Darian means how it reads on stage, because I know that when you wear black on this stage specifically, like what Taylor's talking about, the shadows and stuff are not catching. But I'm wondering if she watched back some of her looks from season 6 and just was thinking, oh, that green just didn't compliment me or something. So if that's kind of her strategy going into this. But I don't know on a day-to-day. I mean, I kind of have a uniform as well where it's basically a white tank top or a white t-shirt with jeans. Like, I don't stray too far from that ever.
You know, let me ask you this question. We got where I thought you were going. I thought you were going to the part where RuPaul says, oh, you've lost all this weight and you've lost years. Like, you look a lot younger. I actually think Darian looks older, but what do you guys think?
The answer is yes. There are parts of her that she definitely, there's something about this that I don't know how comfortable I am critiquing parts of her body. No, I brought up you. I have no problem critiquing
Taylor,
your
I
body.
Have a text
but
message.
Darian, like, for
I have a text message you saying, please bring up Darian's body. I just want to talk about it the whole show.
Yes, that's exactly. Well, first of all, that's adorable that joke is that I sent you a text message. But anyway.
That is true. That was true. Taylor charges, you know, this is like
international rate supply.
Yeah, that's what I get with Taylor. He texts me.
He immediately gets a text message and a Venmo request with every single text message that I send. So, I mean, I think that her jowls, for lack of a better word, they definitely, I think, age her. But I also think like the top half of her face, she looks slightly younger.
But you could get plastic surgery to get rid of that skin, you know.
Oh, yeah, but I mean,
she better win some of them.
She hasn't done that yet, or is choosing not to.
But you know, that's one of my biggest fears about losing weight. Is not that that's what prevents me from losing weight, but I'm like, oh, am I going to look a lot older? You know, I'm only 24, and so will it make me look, you know, gosh, like in my 40s or something if I lose the weight?
Well, I know this is so off topic. I know that's Weight Watchers' biggest thing is that if you lose like a pound a week just with, you know, diet and exercise, that your skin is able to kind of reshape because you're not like doing a dramatic, everything is leaving at once. So your skin's like, what happened to everything that was in my body? So that's why, I mean, when my dad went through colon cancer, his skin was hanging because it just went from a normal sized person to, you know, he shrunk into nothing basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate with I have been taking Ozempic for a while.
Ozempic,
you know. And I've been very fortunate that I didn't get what they're calling Ozempic face. Okay. Because I have slowly lost it because I take Ozempic and I still like donuts. So, so I've managed to kind of temper the weight loss by some bad habits that I was supposed to get rid of.
All right, because we fucking talk a lot. I was like, oh, on the next topic, I'll take a break. And now it's 10 minutes later. So why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we will talk about the rest of the episode. We are back. It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. Candy makes fun of Kasha's cake. Lala and Candy revisit her bag look. Revisit Lala's bag look. Darian has never been in a relationship and doesn't want to be in one. This leads to a conversation among the girls about the value of singlehood. Finally, the girls once again talk about the strategy of voting someone out. Taylor, let's start with you. What are your thoughts here on everything that we just talked about, the elimination day?
I thought the Darian discussion, and I feel like a couple of the other girls talked about it too, of just kind of being, you know, never being in a relationship and not wanting a relationship was very interesting. It sort of goes against what we're told from a very young age is that you're supposed to sort of pair off at some point. And I wonder how much of that may be self-preservation, where she maybe didn't necessarily have opportunities because of her size, because of what she does for a profession, you know, that sort of thing. And I just wonder if that became I'm not going to even bother look anymore. And then sort of fell into, that's not a nice way to say that, but just sort of came to embrace that as far as the, wait a minute, I can do what I want, when I want, who I want, you know, however I want. And this actually really, really works for me. It feels very similar in some ways to particularly straight people who very purposely do not want children. And they talk about how amazing their life is because they don't have to do all of the things that, you know, parents have to do.
Jay?
My initial thought when this conversation happened, I was like, oh no, it's Darian's week to go because we're getting a lot of story beats out.
I was thinking that about Kasha.
Kasha said something and I was like, it's her week. I told Paul, I'm like, it's Kasha's time to go. Like, there is something said and I can't remember what exactly it was, but I was like, bye-bye, Kasha. And I hadn't even seen any of the looks yet. Yeah, this was, you know, I think that's a good conversation for people to have because we are told as a society that you're meant to pair up. And I don't think singlehood is good for some people too. I love my time being single and I love my time being in a relationship. I think that we can contain multitudes.
I don't know where I fall in it. Before I started dating people, it was a long break before I started dating Cameron, and then Cameron and then Aiden wasn't that long after. I was very like, oh, I'm fine being single. I love it. And then I got into it. And now there is, you know, this is a whole fucking conversation, right? The answer is I don't know where I stand. I don't know where I stand on relationships. Okay. I don't know where I stand on sex. I don't know where I stand on any of it. It's very up in the air. And there seems to be this trend too. Like a lot of the young gays like me seem to be.
When you're 24.
I'm 24.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I think I don't think it's something that's new, but I do feel Gen Z is very good at being brave enough to address these issues. I think they've always existed, you know? And so there is a thing now where a lot of Gen Z, they're identifying as sides or as asexual and all kinds of stuff. And I think that I've somewhere been floating in there. I don't know where it is quite yet. And I don't know what it is or anything. So I'm just sort of still floating and trying to figure it out.
I think that's healthy.
Like being single.
That means it's like a discovery that you're on. So that's good.
Yeah, I do like being single, but I also miss sort of the intimacy of a relationship, you know? And I think a lot of times we as gay people both choose our families, but also choose to mimic heteronormative relationships. I don't think that's necessarily the healthiest thing in the world either. All right, it is time for the supermarket ball. I don't like talking about the looks. I have some specific comments I have that aren't necessarily about the looks. So, but I'll let Jay and Taylor actually took notes on the look. So I'll let them sort of like, Taylor, why don't you take the lead here?
Well, and Taylor, how did you, I guess, rate this? Or what did you, so I can kind of follow suit.
I just sort of wrote a little note next to just about all of them. But I mean, some of the notes are something like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them, there isn't, I mean, I could definitely, if you want to just like tutor boot,
I can do tutor boot, or I could do top three, bottom three. And if they were middle, I didn't write, I don't have an opinion.
Okay, so how about top three, bottom three for each of the categories?
Yeah, 9 total.
Okay.
So that way we're not talking about each thing, but whatever. Or I have toot and boot next to them too. I did copious amounts of notes.
Okay. All right, well, what are your top three?
From Legendary Queens, first category. So my number one look was Heidi as the milkmaid. That was my top two. That was my number one look. I thought it was stunning, a good reference. I loved it. I have Kahana actually as the cow. I thought was a really good look for her. I have a toot next to her. And my other toot was Jessica Wilde as the Fruit Loop. Toot.
I liked what I wrote for Jessica Wilde is I loved it. It was the only one that seemed to have color to it. Everybody else seemed to be very
and organic.
White
like it their, felt, you know, it felt like a fun camp nod without it just being white. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. My three favorite looks, my top looks for Legendary would be, now this may be controversial, especially because of something that was said later in the episode, which I want to address, is Candy. Candy's with the big collar that was like the splash of milk. I thought she looked great in that. There was something about, it was a very cool look. You talked about liking Kahana's milk look. I kind of liked Alexis's more. Actually, no, I did like Alexis's more. I thought there was more of a polish to it. And Heidi definitely took this one for me as far as best look of everybody. The one critique that I have about it is I feel like we've seen this before with Gigi Good, where she was the ice cream lady with the little red nose. Whatever season that, I don't even know what season that was, but those were that. What were your three least favorite
in this category? I have actually Alexis. I put boot ? Because I wasn't sure how to feel. It almost looked like a furry costume, that cow. I have Lala looks like Bebe Rexha, which take from that what you want, but she was also on a bottom look for me. And then I felt that I put no next to Mrs. Kasha Davis.
Mrs. Kasha Davis was definitely one of my least favorite. I did because I didn't get what she was supposed to be doing.
The sour cream didn't read. I didn't get that.
No, and she didn't necessarily say sour cream when she came down with the weird look on her face, and they had to say, "I don't get what you are," with the weird hoop.
She said it at the end, but not in a "I'm sour cream" kind of way. She said it almost like a pun, so you wouldn't think that was what she was doing.
You might know this. Did I miss something? Like, why is that circle? I thought she was a like saucer, like you would pour cream out of because of that hoop. I thought that was like a finger hole. I didn't get the sour cream reference at all.
Because she had a sour face on.
She's sour and then, okay, wow, just clicked. Yeah. It wasn't successful for me.
Yeah. So I said that, I'm trying to think. I didn't like Mrs. Kasha Davis either. I didn't like James. James just felt like it was a James Mansfield dress and she had a wrap on with foam
cookies.
Or like stuffed cookies that was not, you know, necessarily anything great. And I don't necessarily have a bottom three. I just have a bottom two because everybody else is like, it was okay. It was nice, but. You know, nobody really shit the bed except for Kasha Davis.
Can I jump in here? Because this is the only category where I have a couple of comments, and they have nothing to do with the looks.
All right.
One.
Okay.
And maybe this comes from someone who likes to write song parodies and stuff like that. Michelle said Muella DeVille. I'm like, I would have gone with Cowella DeVille and not Muella DeVille.
Good punch up. Yeah.
Two, how did no one on this motherfucking planet say... With Darian Lake, when she came down, she puts the dairy in Darian. I was like waiting for them to say that, and no one said it. She puts the dairy in Darian.
Real missed opportunity.
Yeah. Those are my only comments I had.
Okay.
Thank you. Carry on. And then I'm not going to say anything anymore at all. I'm going to sit here and do work.
This is a quicker category for me if we're on Fruity Patootie.
Yeah, me too.
I actually didn't have too many bad ones, so I'll just highlight my top three, if that's cool.
I am the exact same way. Okay, yes, cool. Okay.
My absolute favorite, again, was Heidi as the strawberry with the harem pant. I thought that was fantastic. I loved it. I knew the reference. It read immediately to me. I also have a star. I liked Candy's idea here. I thought that the cherries was an interesting take. I love the headpiece. Uh-oh, that's a shake of a head from Taylor.
No, I did not like that one.
And then any reference that I can get from Jessica Wilde about her acai, I love this drink, is perfect to me. So I liked Jessica as well. But everybody was pretty solid. The only one that
I love that drink.
What was that, Jessica? Do you always drink?
I love that drink.
Do you always drink during interviews? No, but I just love this drink. The only one that was a big boot for me was somebody came out looking like Katy Perry. Oh, James looked like Katy Perry a little bit, like in 2010s. And I feel like with the lemon outfit, I just didn't register it with me.
Okay, here's the problem with that outfit.
Tell me.
Okay, so you're doing lemon slices. Why would you have where it is an actual like thin slice over the breasts where you could have the actual lemon cut in half so that you get the little nipple at like the ends of the lemon where you could have it way? Like that was such a missed opportunity because you could put lemon slices all over other places so that, you know, you know what it is. But I was disappointed with James for that. That was not a good move. I'm pretty close to what you said. Heidi, I thought it was a very interesting take on strawberry because the way that it ballooned out and then tapered at the legs, I thought was very interesting. I thought Jessica's was that was like possibly one of the prettiest times I've ever seen Jessica. She looked really, because I always think Jessica kind of looks sort of very angular and kind of hard sometimes. And I thought that the way with the hair and everything, she looked beautiful. And I got to say, Kahana's banana outfit, I thought was just absolutely, she looked amazing in it.
Yeah.
There was another banana. Who was the other banana?
Banana was Darian. Did the banana split, Darian. But then also Mrs. Kasha Davis did the showgirl with the bananas on the shoulder.
Okay, yeah, no, so she definitely did the best. But Darian, I liked the where she ripped the muumuu off, and then that was a very funny reveal. But those were my three as far as the best
Joe,
ones.
Joe, were you disappointed that your face wasn't on Jimbo's dress when she talked
it
about
it? Was, but they didn't show her butt. So.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. So, and then the last looks were the bag looks.
This was my weakest three category, actually. So I thought that Heidi, again, was my absolute favorite. I think that she nailed all three categories. So I'm kind of surprised that she was not. And in Untucked, she kind of was saying that she thought she was in the top. I think she deserved the top on this episode. I thought that Jimbo was great. She kind of looked like Jessica Chastain wrapped like as a lettuce, as a salad. And then my other top one, I kind of got that James looked like somebody out of Pee-wee's Playhouse, and I enjoyed that, so I was all in on that one. So those are my three.
I would agree with you on Jimbo. I thought Jimbo looked really great, and that's one where I was surprised at just how well it was executed. And I liked Alexis's. For Alexis's one where I just wrote like really well.
What
executed.
What did she do?
And that's what I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was. So that's probably not a good
sign. I have Alexis next to it. I have fine. So I think that I was like middle of the road.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to change my answer. I actually loved Lala's look.
Oh.
Lala with the bald and then the cowl neck. Though I don't know what it was made
of. That was the stuff that you would put in drawers to kind of have a grip. It's not contact paper, but it's like a grippy, like, yeah.
Okay. Like shelf paper kind of a grip thing. Okay. Because I thought she just looked beautiful. It was if she walked too fast, that would have popped up and she would have seen her panties. But I thought that it was definitely very redeeming from the bag look that she had before. And Jessica Wilde, another example of being super, super pretty and just really great. So what about your least favorite
On
looks?
This one, I wanted to tear the train off of Darian's dress. It was that foil. I think they're called like emergency blankets, or I don't know what they are really.
Yeah, like a fire blanket.
I think that it would have been so much better without that on there. And then unfortunately, I do agree that I thought Mrs. Kasha Davis's was kind of everything and the kitchen sink thrown in. It was a pinata around her body.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
But Mrs. Kasha Davis, I audibly gasped, which came
out of shock.
I'd even seen it earlier when they were making the joke about the pinata, but I like,
yeah,
you know, candy. I did not like candies. I shouldn't have gasped like that because now I'm going to cough. Sorry.
While you're coughing, candies was a, I did not respond to that one at all. It felt like cardboard with tinfoil. It was tough.
Yeah. It was so, so bad. And, who was my other one? I said Mrs. Kasha Davis, Darian mm-hmm. was horrible, and Candy. Those were my three least favorite.
I thought the wildest critique came from T.S. Madison, though, where she is being like, Mrs. Kasha Davis, you have every color, everything on them all. T.S., look to your left at JoJo Siwa and tell me that you're not seeing the exact same thing.
I'm sorry. I have to jump in here. You're burying the lead. And God bless the editors. JoJo Siwa reads Kasha Davis on the thing and says, and they hold the camera on her for this reason, you can tell. She's like, you look like a three-year-old who couldn't decide what to wear to a birthday party. I'm like, is the bitch looking like, she's like, you're using every color in the palette. I'm like, are you looking at you? Yeah. JoJo Siwa? Oh, I just JoJo Siwa almost threw the TV out the window.
I'm not familiar with her. She came from Dance Moms?
From Dance Moms, I think, yeah.
Okay, but she's a huge star now, like for young kids. They love her.
Yeah, am I right? Being lesbian because of her.
Oh, good for her then. All right, well, yeah. I support her. Right. Groom them.
Yeah, groom them!
I'm joking, but I mean, if it takes somebody at that caliber, because I do think that kids having... is she bisexual or straight lesbian? I don't know what... I don't know how
she identifies. Lesbian. I was making a joke that they're all turning lesbian. I was making a joke that that's what Republicans think.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah,
I'm here for it. Turn them all.
So, but those are the looks.
Those are the looks.
All right. Very, very good. All right. On the main stage, Jessica Wilde is named the top all-star of the week. Meanwhile, Darian Lake and Mrs. Kasha Davis are placed in the bottom two. Later, Jessica Wilde goes up against lip-sync assassin Raja O'Hara in a lip-sync battle for their legacies. The song Coconuts by Kim Petras. In the end, Jessica Wilde was named the winner of the lip-sync, pocketing $30,000 and the right to send one of the girls home. Who did she choose? Mrs. Kasha Davis. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Let's start with Jay Ellis.
I am kind of shocked that Jessica chose Mrs. Kasha Davis over Darian, because unless Mrs. Kasha Davis gave a really emotional thing in Untucked, which I didn't get to finish because of the time constraint I was put under. I don't know if there was a sob story there, but Darian has not performed very well in the competition thus far, so I kind of thought it was her time to go. I'm happy to have her on my TV, though, for as long as possible. Kim Petras, great song. Coconuts is a kind of energy I want to see for a lip sync on this show, so happy to have that song in there. And I think we already discussed the lip sync, but the tits did most of the work on this lip sync. And I feel bad because I love Raja O'Hara, and I feel like we barely got her, but she seemed happy to be there.
Yeah.
Taylor, the latte boy?
I have a feeling that Jimbo was like biting their inner cheek, because Coconuts is such the movement of that would have been, Jimbo would have done much better last week than what she did for, what was the song? I don't even remember what the song was. Shebop. Yeah. So, okay. So this goes back to the critique. I am so sick.
I know.
Of Michelle Visage talking about, well, you just glued things to a corset dress. And like with this judgmental, which I wrote, fuck off. Like I actually said that at the TV watching this, like you don't, you know, it just makes me so mad that they're not doing this to get Michelle's approval. They're doing it, especially when you have two things that were so well executed and she just minimized by going, well, you glued things to a corset.
I have that note. I have a few notes left, and that's one of them, which it was like, I could see that critique. When it looked sloppy, but it actually looked great on Jimbo. He did an excellent job. And it's, you fucking try it, Michelle. Thank you.
And they're not on Project Runway. I mean, this is to get through a challenge.
She just glues her ass to RuPaul's ass. Wait, sorry. She glues her lips to RuPaul's ass.
Oh.
No one critiques her.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to edit that joke so it works.
Okay. That would be a good future queens. You should use that in a roast challenge if you're listening now. And should I have not said that? Because now you won't get credit for it. Well, no, because it'll be on the podcast.
My Ricky Martin joke was used.
What was your Ricky Martin joke?
When we did the roast of you, I think I made a joke about Taylor saying that his first pride flag was in black and white, and then cut to Ricky Martin on some season 2 years later, and I hear that joke happen.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You know, I was telling, I can't say on the air what it was. I'll tell you off the air. But I was talking to Jeremy the Dark Knight about him. I go, I think that this person listened to the show and turned it into a TikTok. And he goes, really? But it was so hyper-specific. I really do think so. Sorry, go ahead.
Good.
That's okay. How would you have voted? Would you have voted critique or track record? Because I think both are valid for this far into this, because we're only this far into the game, that there really isn't like, we don't have a Roxy Andrews situation, All-Stars 2, where she was in the bottom like six times or whatever. So which way would the two of you go? Would you have voted Darian or Kasha?
Joe, you ready to answer? I think my initial thing would, even though it would have killed me because I like Darian, I would have probably voted Darian out.
I agree with Jay. I probably would have voted Darian. Just, and it's weird, but that's the thing is with me, I would be open and say it varies week to week, whether it's emotion or track record. Mm-hmm. And I think this one with, because Kasha was safe every week except this week. She admittedly is not a look queen.
And everybody's going to always say, I have more to show. It's like, of course you do. Like, you came to the show to do that. So that just has to be out the window. I have so much more to show. And it's like, yeah, we know. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, you'll have fun showing it on the
fan favorite. Games. Yeah. Fame game. Yeah.
And it was clear.
Wait, Taylor, we talked about that we didn't.
I was going to vote for Kasha, but then you both gave very good arguments. So I would probably vote for Darian too. I am very easily swayed with things, unfortunately. I think part of the reason that we didn't get as much of Raja O'Hara was it was clear there were fun things that had happened that they could not show on TV. Because there was a couple of times where one of them would walk up to the other one and then there was reaction shots of everybody screaming. So whether that was motorboating or licking or whatever it was, I think that the best parts of Raja were probably within that interaction with her and Jessica.
I agree.
And why did the two eliminated or the two bottom queens get changed?
I feel like with unconventional clothes, you don't really want to sit in them because they're probably hanging on by a thread. I mean, Kahana's whole, on the last look, it wasn't even attached under her taint. Like, it was just flapping in the wind. So I think that they were allowed to change for, let them go out with some dignity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Last thoughts, Joe?
Do you have any other thoughts, Joe?
I didn't watch Untucked, but I will watch Untucked, and maybe I'll discuss this on Relaska Thoughts with Robert later this week. But why did Kasha's speech on the main stage upset Candy so much? I mean, I could see it was kind of a little cringy and try hard, but why did it upset Candy so much?
Was that on Untucked?
It wasn't.
Is it mentioned on Untucked?
No, it wasn't mentioned on Untucked, which I was waiting for that to happen. There are reasons for some of the reactions after she leaves, which apparently are going to be explored in next week's episode.
Oh.
I don't want to spoil anything, but because for you guys who haven't watched it yet, but there is a discussion that happens that was a little, that seems to come out of nowhere. But Jay, I will say you had mentioned before maybe if Kasha had given a very impassioned speech to Jessica, if anything, Jessica's response was she's not fighting for this compared to Darian. Darian seemed much more, you know, I have a lot more to show. I really want to be here. I'm fighting to be here, all that sort of stuff. And Kasha was very much, if you send me home, that's okay.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of thing. So
now I will say this. I want to give people flowers when they deserve it. I just talked shit into JoJo Siwa, but I will say with her outfit, she understood the assignment, unlike this Fakakta Megan trainer.
Yeah. JoJo so came JoJo in drag. Like, it was full.
JoJo came in drag.
Yeah. Get up.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts here? Have we finished our thoughts for today?
I will say this, and maybe this is the counselor hippy dippy in me. The fact that Mrs. Kasha Davis changed her motto to "There's always time for kindness" instead of, I thought, was a very nice touch for her, because I know when she was on her season, we all made fun of her with the "there's always time for a cocktail." And she's not drinking anymore. So the fact that she was able to change it in a way that really kind of speaks to what we're going to as a community, I thought was awesome.
Great. Shut up, pig. All right. Well, that's going to do it for...
Clean up on aisle
for
three.
This week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 8. So for J. Ellis, Taylor the Latte Boy, and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also watch video versions of the show and more over at youtube.com/dragracerecap. This podcast was produced by Luke Stamen. Taylor the Latte Boy has another podcast. It's called Pod Is My Co-Pilot, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Taylor on Instagram at PIMCTaylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram and TikTok at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Alex S., Anonymous, April Pacheco, Astute Girl, Brad Coley, Carter McKinnon, Corinna Williamson, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Timmer, Emma, Humble Pie, J. Thomas Blank, Jesse Harris, Kathy Zender, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Nikki Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo Herrera, Robert NYC, Robin Eggenberger, Runner Brandon, Sarah Yu, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.